This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne. And Newsmakers is where we join with you to talk about local issues, local ideas, local institutions, local individuals, all that good stuff having to do with Salem, Kaiser, Marion County, Polk County, anywhere our voices are heard, and topics that affect your pocketbook, your quality of life, and just everything around us having to do with governance and all that good stuff. So welcome. It's a fabulous Willamette Valley Day.
As always.
And today I'm excited because today we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, and we've talked about it in small bits and pieces before, but today we're going to dive in because we have a great guest talking about economic development, which is a hard concept for people to get their brains around. Economic development's one of those buzzwords that, well, that's a good thing. I was told it was a good thing, but what the heck does that mean?
Yeah, right.
So with us today, we have a newbie. He's the rookie at SEDCOR, which is the Strategic Economic Development Corporation. So it's our regional economic development entity. And he's going to explain us about himself. We got to meet Eric and figure out what makes him tick and why he got the job, and also what economic development is. So welcome to the studio, Eric Anderson.
Thank you very much.
Glad so you're here. The president.
I'm the president.
So you're in the joint now.
Yes.
Okay. So welcome. That's great. So we're gonna talk, kind of lay some groundwork here. We're going to talk about what SEDCOR is and does. And later we'll introduce you a little bit more to the community because you're new.
Great.
You've been here before.
Yeah, recycled.
And you're well. Recycle, yeah, reuse.
It's all about sustainability, right?
We'll keep doing that. So Strategic Economic Development Corporation and the mission. So what, let's start with the definition. What is economic development?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that has a lot of different definitions depending on who you are and mm-hmm. what the community is. But generally, the way we look at it is, you know, basically developing the economy. How do you, in a proactive way, help control your economy, create, you know, well-paying jobs to allow people the quality of life to live in your community, allow the community to thrive.
Okay. And then within that, each economic development entity, depends on the region, they could all be different and they could have different goals.
Yeah. I mean, I've worked in several different areas where, you know, I worked for a utility where we covered three states. So, you know, if you go down to Crescent City, California, and talk to them about their local economic development strategy, it's going to be different than Pendleton, Oregon's or Walla Walla, Washington's. You know, you hope that people are actually looking at opportunities that they have that are unique to their community.
So SEDCOR, I know it was born out of a department, the city of Salem, 30 plus years ago. So, but it's a nonprofit.
Yes.
All right. So you have a board. So let's talk just real quickly about the governance.
Well, it's a membership organization. So we have, I think, roughly 450 members, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, those are the folks that do believe in economic development, do believe in the mission, and hopefully some businesses that we've helped along the way as well joining. We are publicly and privately funded. So we get support from the counties that we serve, the cities that we serve. A lot of the cities are members of our organization. Mm-hmm. We have a board of, I think, 45 people. It's a large board, as wow. boards go. Of that board, we have an executive council of 9 folks that represent sort of some of our key funders, some key industries. They're my boss. They're the yeah. folks that I work with on a monthly basis to be sure that we're following the right goals and doing the right work.
Well, folks, I want you to know. First of all, full disclosure. I'm on this board.
What?
And before, yeah.
I didn't know that.
And before before Eric got hired, I was on the executive council for about 5 years. And so, and Eric and I were talking before the show, I am humbled when I look around the room because this is a broad swath of the economic community, of the business community. And nobody in the room is there to build a resume and say, hey, I serve this nonprofit. These people believe in the mission. It intersects, and the mission intersects with their entity. It's either Garmin, and their ability to recruit and train, recruit and hire and have this vibrant organization here in Salem. It could be the power company, it could be natural gas company, it could be bankers who are looking to lend and have a strong base of clientele. And so it's just kind of all over the board, no pun intended. So anyway, so obviously, and I count myself amongst those people that are passionate about what the mission of SEDCOR is, and that's why I've donated time to it.
Which is appreciated. So, yeah, we very much appreciate that. Yeah,
sometimes more than others, by some people more than others, I guess. So I think Eric was a great hire, and after we get done with this, and we're going to dive into Eric a little bit and learn more about him personally. All right, so it's SEDCOR, going back to the goals and the mission. So mission, obviously, is economic development, and in different regions, that means different things.
Right.
So what are the targets for SEDCOR?
So, you know, we cover Marion, Polk, and Yamhill counties, so we have a lot of different communities that we serve. But, you know, generally, I think we mostly get associated with the, you know, the kind of sexy economic development stories, you know, bringing an Amazon to the community, working as part of that team. And those are important, you know, business recruitment, you know, it's good for the community to have new businesses come in. It's, you know, opportunities for people that are looking for work. The bread and butter of an economic development organization like SEDCOR, though, is the business retention expansion. You know, you mentioned the acronym, but, you know, BRE, as it's called in the trade. But most of the jobs, the vast majority of new jobs in a community come from businesses that are already there. So, you know, a good part of our work plan is, you know, we've got business retention expansion managers, one for each of our counties. And along with me, you know, we're out there talking to businesses, trying to identify if there are issues associated with their business that we can help with, if there's opportunities, if they're looking for new suppliers, if they're looking for new assistance with new market, export, that sort of thing. And that's really where, you know, the job creation is, and, you know, how we can add value to it by, you know, we're kind of the tip of the iceberg. You go out there and talk to a business and they kind of tell you the story, and then you can, with their permission, kind of repeat what the needs are and bring in workforce, bring in public funding, bring in, you know, other organ manufacturing extension partnership for folks that are looking for, you know, help with production assistance and that sort of thing. So part of our job is just knowing what that toolbox is and how to apply them, and then going out there and talking to the businesses. That's a big part of it.
Yeah, and you mentioned manufacturing. I know really the goal is to have two things: traded sector jobs, and that's another buzzword in the industry.
Yep.
It basically means money that's from outside the area coming in.
Exactly.
Right? Yep. So we're producing something here, and maybe it's hops, maybe it's wheat, maybe it's some sort of electronics, right? And then we export it out of the area, and money from California or money from Japan or money from anywhere is coming into our area. So that's a traded sector job,
right,
where they're working on something that brings money into the region.
Net revenue coming in, which helps grow the economy.
That's right. So traded sector jobs, and also like manufacturing jobs, in terms of things that are, I think, I hate to use this term because there's no definition, but a livable wage job.
Yes.
So you're not going out and recruiting people to do assembly line food service that's minimum wage.
Right. Yeah. Right. And you know, there are value in all jobs. So, you know, but from where we are able to actually kind of allocate our time, it is the ones that are paying a family wage, that people are able to, you know, career path. You know, if we can find jobs that, you know, in industries that people can kind of grow with and move their way up, that's another, you know, kind of key area for us.
So speaking of key areas, there's industries that you guys focus more energies on than others, right? Some of those key industries. I mentioned a couple of examples in agriculture is clearly one of the
agriculture and food processing. Yes. Yeah. Aviation, kind of advanced manufacturing is certainly one. Transportation distribution, you know, I think given our location, that's always been a big part of it as well here. You know, we don't like to say no to business, you know, at the same time, because we've got a really diverse environment here in the economy. But there are, you know, agriculture and food processing is a great example. I keep going back to that because it's one of the few places I've been to where we can actually say we have companies that make equipment that process foods that are grown here, that then we store them, cold storage, distribute them from here. And in some cases, even make other products with them. You know, so it's a kind of complete supply chain. And if there are ways that we can help, you know, as we talk to businesses, if they say, hey, we're looking for another potential supplier of this item, or we're looking for another potential customer for this item that we're going to, you know, start to produce, that helps us target the kinds of industries we want to bring in here.
All right. I was going to jump on the next question and talk about those intermodal things, but we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get personal with Eric Anderson. He's the new president. He's the rookie in the block running our Economic Development Corporation. And so stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart, along with Dave Bourne, and we're talking to Eric Anderson. He's the president of SEDCOR, and we're talking economic development. And I love this topic, and I love what the mission does. And as I said last...
Is that because you are a business owner? But everybody benefits from it, though.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. And I'm one of those people that believe that the best social programs are a well-paying job.
Yeah, well, right? Of course.
So, yeah, I'm a business owner, but it also great for our entire community and great for our entire region for people to have good-paying jobs mm-hmm. that can. And as an employer, as a business owner, I've always taken pride if I created one job.
Right.
You know, or five jobs, because there's five people that are paying the rent with something that I did. I took a risk and I did this, and that's, you know, people kind of miss that in terms of thinking of people who own businesses. It's like some people are feeding their kids with the job that was created that wouldn't have been created if we hadn't done something.
Yeah, self-worth.
So, awesome. Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. And so I'm, you know, obviously a big champion. I have served the board of the Chamber of Commerce, which was very pro-business and pro-Salem, and SEDCOR as well. And
Did you get Amazon here, by the way?
Unfortunately, that was before my time.
Take credit. Take credit.
What kind of carrot did you dingle out there?
Part of it is just, you know, I think there's a long-term investment in Mill Creek as a facility and as a, you know, ready-to-go industrial site. And I think the city and SEDCOR and our partners at the state, I mean, it was you know, all these things are team efforts. But I think it was really an opportunity to showcase site, ready to go for a large building like that.
And
I think
price was good.
And then ultimately,
on I-5.
Great access to I-5. Yeah. And there aren't a lot of those sites anymore.
That's true.
I think we're down to a couple at Mill Creek and a couple good ones still there. And then up in Woodburn. You know, but I think a lot of it's you know, having that ability and having a really strong team approach. One of the things that we are promoting to other businesses is that the community actually beat the time frame that Amazon had given us to you know, put a building up to get that building permitted and construction time. So,
good job, City of Salem.
Yeah, that's a great win for us to be able to tell it to other businesses.
So a little haggling went on between them.
Yeah.
Nice. And, you know, you can't change Amazon's business plan. You have to find that you're a fit for them.
Right.
But on top of that, and we were talking about this during the break, you have to have all the infrastructure in place. You have to have as much water as an industrial user might need. You have to have the kind of quality and dependability of power and natural gas. You have to have the transportation infrastructure. You're going to have the zoning. You have to have the willingness and the cooperation of the permitting departments. And you've got to have this buildable land. So,
and if you didn't have any piece of that, and somebody like Amazon or any business comes in and says, okay, I want to move to your community, even if they want to, and then you start talking about how many different hurdles that you have to achievable, but they're still hurdles. And if you can't upfront some of those before that conversation takes place, they're going to look for another spot to go.
I think it's safe to say, though, Dave, that without SEDCOR, we don't get Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You have to have somebody negotiate for the area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And before Amazon, the Home Depot distribution center.
That's a big
FedEx one. And mm-hmm. all of those things that are happening out of there.
No, there's a lot of work involved with just just the whole process. I mean, we talked a little bit about the definition of economic development, but mm-hmm. when you work in a recruitment deal, it's very rare to have, like, you know, Bob from Amazon or Julie from Amazon knock on the door and say, hey, we want to come to your community. It's there's an infrastructure of economic development, like nesting dolls in place that you're working with a site selector. You're working with maybe a state person that works with those site selectors that's looking at, you know, many different areas around the state for, you know, the perfect site for
like,
you know,
shopping for a home for them.
It is, except we, you know, often don't know the company. So
right.
It's usually, you know, a really interesting Project Acme, Project X, you know, something clever. And That's also the tough part. It's like, you know, you start to look at all the information that's required. You know, Amazon's a huge growing company, well aware of the HQ2 process that they went through. You know, none of these are their first rodeo. So they are demanding. They want a lot of information up front. Mm-hmm. And but if you don't know who it is and you're just thinking, man, this is a lot of work for, you know, keep casting out those hooks, hoping that someone bites, and then you get somebody kind of nibbling. But, you know, voluminous information that's required on workforce.
And like a book report.
Like a War and Peace.
Yeah, right.
What about
international companies? Are you able to reach out to them and say, hey, we'd be a great fit for your company?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where we really kind of depend on that nesting doll approach again, working with our, you know, state partners. You know, their state organizations have offices in different, you know, Europe and Japan and China. And I know we've had good luck in the past working as part of the, when they do, you know, the governor's office often does missions to abroad. And mm-hmm. Being able to participate in some of those, working with the businesses that we already have here that are, you know, maybe foreign operations, to say, hey, are there other businesses that we can get from your area? You know, we've got some exciting projects that have been happening here recently around, you know, food processing again, but St. Cusair up in Newburgh, mm-hmm. You know, they're a Japanese business and a big retailer in Japan. They have stores like a visualizing like a Trader Joe's kind of thing, but they, you know, grow a lot of their own product, you know, produce a lot of their own food there. But, you know, they were telling us that Oregon just has a really good reputation in Japan. It's got, we branded really well in Japan. So their customers, when they see Oregon on a label of something, you know, they know resonates
they,
with them.
Yeah, so, they know it's good stuff.
Yeah. So I think, you know, when we have those opportunities, it's great. And having a business here already that another business can feel comfortable talking to and finding out whether it's from Japan or Europe or wherever else is a huge benefit for us.
Sure.
All right. So we want to talk about Eric a little bit. This is Eric Anderson, president. You've been on the job.
It's 3 months.
3 whole months.
So a little bit more than 3 months.
Hope you have everything under control now. fortunately, you have a strong board.
A courting period.
and why I think Eric was a great hire. So he actually came from New York. Doesn't sound like it, but you came from New York.
There's a couple keywords.
Yeah,
and when I drive.
Okay. Doesn't drive like an Oregon.
I think we all drive that way.
It's getting that way. Yeah, I'm feeling more comfortable behind the wheel.
Yeah, so I'm sure.
Eric's history, and you're just now, I mean, you've been here 3 months, but you're just now really trying to find a home and move, right?
I'm trying to close on my house. Yeah, it's got the house. We're just waiting on some federal issues that were delayed during the shutdown.
So until recently, you were in Tacoma?
Yep. Yeah, spent the last couple of years in Tacoma working for a utility up there, public utility, Tacoma Public Utilities. And I mentioned when I first moved here, it was a really interesting place to be. And I think it provided a really great example, I think, to what I think of in economic development, because Tacoma has long time been in the shadow of Seattle. And even the people that are, even particularly the people that are there, have always kind of felt secondary to, you know, the beautiful Emerald City up the way. And newcomers that come in are like, you've got a lot going on in Tacoma. And I think they're starting to understand that they're pretty, you know, Tacoma is a pretty great Tacoma. You don't mm-hmm. need to be kind of a second class Seattle.
That's
you need
how
to
I
be
feel
a really
Salem.
Good. Well, I think there's right. a lot of, you know, whether it's Salem, whether it's Willamina. I mean, how do you be the best town you can be without kind of changing yourself or comparing yourself to something else? And Tacoma really had a turnaround. You know, they've got a big industrial area, big port area, you know, and it's, that's thriving. But their turnaround was really around arts and education. They've got mm-hmm. several museums. They've turned their high school graduation rate down from up from like almost a little bit over 50% to close to 90% in a
wow.
very short period of time.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Let's get some of those consultants down.
And
here.
You have a car museum there too.
And a LeMay
I
Car
love
Museum.
That museum.
Yeah, they've got LeMay Car Museum, a fantastic glass museum, world class glass museum. Mm. Dale Chihuly's from Tacoma, so there's a lot of his works at the art museum, at the glass museum. But they, and UW Tacoma did a fantastic, 6,000 students in downtown Tacoma that are in apartments that, you know, mm-hmm. have been kind of justifying redevelopment of apartments in some of the old buildings there and new construction. I think.
All right, but we're talking about you.
Yeah.
Who cares about Tacoma?
But it was a good environment for, I think, for a couple of years to really kind of get recharged again on what a community can be.
All right, so the, Eric's experience goes back to New York and the I Love New York office coming out of college.
I was a grad student intern at I Love New York.
So that is
when,
so cool.
When people called and asked for like where the campgrounds were in Manhattan, I was one of the people that would call and say, there's a lot of happy campers in Manhattan.
We need to save some of his stories for another show because he actually worked in northern New York, right? And having to do with things having to do with NAFTA. This goes back to the 90s, right?
Yeah, we had a pretty much just had to keep up with answering the phone because we had a lot of Montreal area businesses in particular that needed an American presence to really do well under the NAFTA. So we had a lot of foreign direct investment happening.
So now you're pushing 20 years, 19, 20 years in Oregon. Something I found interesting, you got involved with a team, one of Governor Kulongowski's teams.
Yeah,
so that's really where you got to know this area and that this region pretty well.
Yeah, I covered seven counties for his economic revitalization team. So I was his regional coordinator here and housed out of Salem and worked in Marion, Polk, and Yamhill and then also Midcoast and down into Lane and Lincoln and Benton and Lynn. And it was really interesting for me because that was around the time of the last recession and the last recession. How do we get out of that? And one of his messages was, every state agency has a role in economic development. It's not just on the Department of Economic Development's, Business Oregon's shoulders. And our role was to work with transportation, land use, environmental quality, agriculture, state lands, get that team around and really try to figure out how to make projects work that were going to be job creation or community development projects. So like Mill Creek was something our team worked on, the certified site program, the Lowe's 1.8 million square foot Lowe's facility down in Lebanon was the first certified site success, and that was ours. And we talked about how much work has to be done to attract one of those businesses. The folks from Lowe's sat down with this big notebook of stuff that had already been done and said, we'll do our due diligence, but you just shaved off 8 months off of our, our time frame. So that's the kind of stuff we like to hear.
All right, we're going to have to take a break and come back. We'll cycle back around to SEDCOR, what it does and how it does it and the kinds of companies that it has helped. So stick with us. This is Eric Anderson. We're talking to president of SEDCOR, and you're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Thank you, Dave, and welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne and our guest today, Eric Anderson, president of SEDCOR, and we're going to finish up Eric's resume here real quickly. I seem to get distracted today because there's so many things to talk about. But he did work in economic development in Port Townsend. That goes back to the mid-90s, right?
Yep.
And we're talking before the break how he worked for economic revitalization team with Governor Kulongowski. I was happy to hear that Governor Ted did consider economic development one of the needs during the recession all of the entities and the departments of the government to help with this. And he worked with Business Oregon up in the Gorge, in addition to all the work he did.
So he pretty much knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I know. You've been in the private sector.
I have my moments.
Pacific Power. Good hire. So welcome back to the community.
Thank you.
We were talking during the break a little bit. My editorial comment is that I was happy to hear what you said about Governor Kulongowski. My complaint about Governor Kitzhaber and sometimes his party as well is that they want money to fund Medicaid, they want money to fund schools, they want money to blah, 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 but they don't see the connection between creating livable jobs and like somehow promoting business is not good for the state. And so you don't have to answer that. I won't get you in trouble. You have to work with state government agencies and things like that.
Well, we're still fighting, 30 years ago, the, thank you for visiting Oregon, don't stay here, whatever that.
Yeah, thanks for visiting, go home.
Yeah, so I mean, there's still a reputation here for that too, so.
Yeah, so, and the other thing that happens is, the things that happen in Oregon affect whether or not people will invest here or will stay here. We're going to talk about business retention and expansion. I know that Measures 66 and 67, and that was about 9 years ago, it was passed, and people who own businesses here were making a decision to stay or go.
Yeah.
And that's something that, frankly, one part of the political aisle doesn't get, that they're absolutely going to vote with their pocketbook. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, it's time for us to grow, but we're not gonna do it here. We're just gonna move. we're going to move to Boise, we're going to move to Texas, and we're taking economic activity and all the jobs with us. That does actually happen. They make a choice with this tax structure. Does it pay me to stay? Does it pay me to go? Do we really have to be anchored here?
Well, yeah. Whenever the taxes, like Measure 66 and 67, I remember that as well. A lot of businesses that I knew through the radio station, they were like, I can't stay here with that. Mm-hmm. And like you said, legislators don't get it. They want to raise the revenues and taxes, and they think all the businesses can afford it. But they can't. Their baseline or whatever profit line is not big enough to support that.
Well, that's one of the things that we always try to encourage around the business retention expansion program, whether it's SEDCORS or others, is you need to concentrate on those because every business you've got is a recruitment target for some other community someplace. So when a Measure 66 or 67 happens, and all of a sudden you start seeing these folks from national economic development organizations are popping up at PDX and they're like, what are you doing in town? Oh, I'm here for a couple meetings. Yeah. they're there for good reason for work. They're not coming to taste Pinot or
yeah, right.
Let me do some of that too.
But, fond of Ronald Reagan's quote when he said, if you want less of something, tax it, and if you want it to go away, then regulate it. Or did I get that backwards? One of the two, either way. And it feels like sometimes Oregon has a personality where they want to tax and regulate. Well, they really want to tax economic activity.
Yeah.
And they want to tax capital, people who make a lot of money. And
big business.
You want to tax that. Yeah. I know, and I can't talk about it on the radio now, but people who just flat out made a lot of money and they up and moved. Sometimes it was across the river. Sometimes it was Las Vegas. But they're like, oh, I've got this big tax burden coming. I am leaving the state. And they have even estate planning advisors, be mm-hmm. they financial or legal. One of the biggest pieces of advice they have is don't die in Oregon.
What?
Don't die in Oregon. Go become a resident of another state.
Wow.
It does happen and affects it. But we're talking about said court.
I think that's actually a fairly good goal anyway, though. It's just don't die. Try just to at least put it off as long as you can.
Don't die here.
We're all going to live forever in Oregon.
It is interesting, though, when having been in Washington for a couple of years, that the tax situation is you just never – It's very hard, apples to apples and oranges to oranges, to compare one state to the next. I know that, and you look, if you Googled right now, best and worst states for taxes, we'd probably show up on both lists at some point, given, however they define it. I was just in a state with no income tax for the last couple of years, and I didn't make an awful lot of money off of that. They catch up with you in other ways.
So. Oh, yes.
I'm sure for businesses, it's the same
thing.
Out of state,
and you're I'm buying this for $2, and suddenly it's $2.20 when you go to the register.
Yeah, right.
And
that's
a big chunk that a lot of people don't see. Maybe 20 cents at a time, but it's maybe 10% of what you're doing.
Well, I really noticed it in California when we were just there over the weekend. Price of something was $12.99, but the tax added it and made it $14.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a dollar tax.
All right, let's talk about some success stories and some of the projects you work on. So I know that, and we've talked about Salem being a collaboration, and I know you work with workforce and the community college and all these things to make the region attractive and workable for people who are doing business here. So business expansion retention. You made a great point about most of the growth in jobs are people who are already doing business here. What kinds of things can SEDCORS do to help somebody who has a small manufacturing and wants to be bigger, small food processing, wants to be bigger, and that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, a couple things. First, we just kind of go and listen. I mean, I think, it's one of the things that I really try to do is with the customers, the clients, and approval, if we can bring a couple different people into the room at the same time so they're only telling the story once, mm-hmm. That way we can bring in some funding partners from the state or whatever else. But generally it becomes, okay, where's the opportunity? Do they already have new line that they're trying to promote, trying to produce? Do they need new space? We try to keep track of what's going on as far as available space in the area, available land if they need to put a building up, what needs to be done to land if they're interested in the site and they say, that's going to need some infrastructure or road improvements or whatever else. We try to know as much as we can about that. We do have good connections to the workforce folks. So if people are looking to hire, bringing the team of workforce providers together and community college, state, just having those folks available to provide different resources there on you know, skills for labor skills, that sort of thing. Really try to kind of open up the tool case basically, right, just to see what you know, the company's looking for, and also try to be entrepreneurial ourselves. If for example, if they're looking to move into a new facility, maybe they're in an existing place and haven't had the real chance to ever take a look back and align their production the right way. You know, there are resources out there to help with production efficiency, and you know, maybe there's a way that we can access some of those resources so when they move into their new facility, they can, you know, lay it out in a lot more efficient and effective way.
I know that born out of the recession, there was a construction alliance effort, and that intersected again with workforce skills.
Yep.
And sometimes it's connections. Sometimes it's, well, we really need the capacity to do this. We don't know how to go about it. And one of your staff people might say, well, across the county, there's somebody who is doing this. Let me hook you up.
Well, in the construction alliance and, you know, what we do with the workforce partnerships and now the school districts, I mean, I think that's the other kind of real exciting thing is how do we start educating, but you know, highlighting the opportunities that are locally and the skills that are needed for people that are in the, you know, in college and high school here that want to stay in the area. So how do you prepare yourself for a job locally? How do you know what a Garmin will be looking for? How do you know what an Oregon Fruit will be looking for if you want to be in the machinery business, if you want to be in marketing? Those connections, I know Nick Harville and our staff spends a lot of time with schools and making those connections between industry and, you know, the educators here so that people are kids are graduating from schools with some, you know, more of the skills that businesses are looking for an intern and help build their resumes that way.
And bless Nick Harville. Thank goodness he's on the job and he has so many relationships in the region. And like you said, connecting construction people, industry people, students, schools, making all those things, relationships happen and floats everyone's boat. Because they need the workforce. Now, workforce is an issue, right?
Yeah.
It's like everywhere, but here we hear about it a lot that the number one problem is, hey, do we have the job skills?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, and I think it is something when you start looking at new businesses that might be coming in or interest in the area, you have to look at what the available labor force is. And, you know, our connections with the workforce folks is important because, you know, we don't want to just be moving people around from one business to the other because you don't want to create a problem, you know, down the street if you're hiring here. So I think having some ability to have a, you know, 30,000 foot level discussion of where the workforce skills are and how to target for the skills that we have. You know, like I said, we want to be responsive to any business coming in, but, you know, we don't want to make a bad situation worse by, you know, making it very competitive for, you know, certain low numbers of job workers.
Yeah. So how much help do you get from the jurisdictions that Sedcor serves? You said now we're three counties. I was Marion Polk for a long time. We've added some Yamhill, both a staff person and getting some help from Yamhill County. But not every jurisdiction can afford an economic development person. One way you are hiring it out. I know the city of Salem, they hire out their economic development so they don't have to do it, and it's Sedcor, right? So you get, but even in the city of Independence, which is a whopping 10,000 people, they have an economic development person, which is fascinating.
Yeah, and right. Salem does too. Annie Gorski, she's got a staff here, and we work very closely with them, and they're part of Urban Renewal. But yeah, I mean, and her job and her, you know, day-to-day stuff is very different than Sean Irvine's in Independence. I mean, he's doing some very different things over there. And where we try to come in is feel, you know, okay, where is that gap? You know, if they've got a project, an opportunity, Sean's been working on some really interesting things around rural technology. Mm-hmm. And that allows us to kind of help participate, help learn, help bring other people to the table. But then frankly, that gives us some tools that we can talk to some other communities and say, hey, you know, here's some things that we're working on in Independence that might be of interest. We're trying to grow this, the entrepreneurial piece. We haven't talked about that, but you've got business retention expansion, you've got business recruitment, but how do you start and grow businesses in a community? And that's not an area that we have a strong small business development center. We've got a lot of resources here, but we've never really had a, like Southern Oregon and Central Oregon have had really sort of venture programs that have become quite successful. Ben's is, I think, even more successful than some of the Portland ones. So we're just now venturing out, no pun intended, with the Oregon Entrepreneurs Network and having our kind of our own venture catalyst, which will be a staffed position that'll help make the connection between, you know, startup businesses that have growth potential and the resources that are out there. And through a lot of the good work that's happened here before, we have a formal partnership of all the different technical assistance providers for small business around the three counties under a Launch Mid-Valley program. So we actually already have our kind of local infrastructure in place. So we're looking for like business, you know, finding folks to be part of virtual incubators and business plan competitions and those sort of things to really start to build an environment of entrepreneurism, ecosystem of entrepreneurial spirit here.
We're going to jump on that for our next segment. We're going to take a quick break and finish up with the discussion of some of the projects and also some of the competition that SEDCOR and our community faces. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne and our guest in the studio today, Eric Anderson, the president of SEDCOR, the Strategic Economic Development Corporation, which is tasked by numerous jurisdictions, cities, and counties to try to accomplish the mission of economic development. And there's so many things to say about it. We're kind of jumping all over the place. Some things I would want you to understand is the more diverse the economy, the more industries that are represented in the workforce and the jobs that are offered in this region, the more recession-proof you are. So if you're reliant upon one steel mill and the steel mill closes or the steel industry changes, that's going to be very, very hurtful.
Sure, the whole town could go down.
However, if you have distribution and if you have manufacturing and you have food processing and you have aviation and you have so on and so forth, it goes on, and an industry has a struggle, then your whole economy doesn't go down. Fortunately, in Salem, the state government's not going to ever go away. So there's part of that. It does affect our average household income, having so many state jobs in the area. But there are a lot of benefits as well, being the capital. Anyway, so that part is so important. And I hope you're realizing from the conversation how much economic development is Eric has to, and his board has to deal with an umbrella that looks over, hey, how much infrastructure do we have to have in transportation and movement of goods and services? So it's rail and it's air and it's highways and it's so forth and it's trucking. So they have the infrastructure, we have to have the utilities, we have to have the water quality, we have to have the reliable power sources. You can't have factories and manufacturers go down. And it also intersects with education and workforce. I'm exhausted now. I'm so glad that I do not have your job, Eric Anderson. Okay, so we were talking a little bit about competition, actually, because SEDCOR is our regions, but there are lots of economic development entities, right, in our state.
Oh, yeah.
All of our neighbors have. There's one in Southern Oregon.
Yeah, it's
one in Central Oregon.
Yeah, there's not. Most of the counties do have some sort of, counties and cities have some sort of economic development function, but the kind of standalone economic development organization that you see in a lot of other parts of the country, there aren't as many of them in Oregon, just the way we're set up. So SEDCOR being one of the, you know, older ones and stronger ones, so ready down in Southern Oregon, it's a multi-region area. EDCO, what they've been able to do in Bend and spread that impact out over the region. McMinnville has, you know, the McMinnville Economic Development Partnership that's kind of modeled the same way, but we work very closely with them. But that's just Oregon. And, you know, Portland Development, Prosper Portland and the Greater Portland Inc. folks and the Portland Metro. So we have to be on our toes, just not just internationally and nationally, but also within the state and right, being able to be sure that we're responsive.
Eric and I were talking during the break about how when you talk about competing nationwide, what a different world it is when trying to compete against Texas.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, do you want land? We got land.
You're right.
Right. And you're going to bring jobs? Do you need a road? Do you need it in, you know, different areas? And there's, you know, there's arguments to be had in society about whether or not for-profit companies and, you know, stock exchange traded companies should be given corporate welfare, would be, you know, the evil term.
You like Nike?
Well, Nike,
You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Uncle Phil Knight.
Yeah.
I remember he once famously said the only reason that Nike's is in Oregon because the president has webbed feet.
Yeah.
Meaning he is Oregon all the way.
But the whole campus area, but unincorporated.
We all need to fear the day that we do not have Phil Knight to anchor Nike to Oregon. And then Texas comes knocking on the door.
Well, you think that would happen? I mean, they just expanded the whole campus and added 3,000 more jobs.
I mean, even there are, I mean, you look at Boeing moving its headquarters out of Washington State. That was they're a huge employer in Washington, don't get me wrong. But that was a pretty big hit to the ego of the state to lose their corporate headquarters.
That's a wake-up call. That's, you look at how many Fortune 500 companies have headquarters in Oregon.
Yeah.
And that's going to tell you a tale.
Yeah, right.
Right? How many Fortune 500 companies, their headquarters are in Oregon? And and what blew my mind is not that they left Seattle or they left Washington when Boeing did that, is that they went to Chicago.
Yeah, who does that?
I could see maybe Atlanta or somewhere, but Chicago is like that. That doesn't seem like an upgrade to me.
Well, it was interesting. I know parts of Oregon, or at least the metro area, competed for Amazon's HQ2, process to or project two. But when you look at the 238 communities around North America, went after HQ2, and it's just amazing to see the different kind of packages people were putting together and how much resources they have in other parts of the country. The one thing I would add, we had I was at a conference a couple of years ago, and the governor of Idaho was there. And one of the things he mentioned was they were competing with Texas for, I think it was Chobani yogurt plant. Mm. And they did not have the deep pockets that Texas had, but he was able to guarantee, we will have this done in 360 days, so under a year. And that certainty was something that really brought them to the table and got that project there, and they were being able to beat it. Yeah. So that having that connection on this side of the project, being able to be sure that we can provide that certainty to investors, there is value in that. That's beyond just the incentives.
That's hard to guarantee things like that, though. I mean,
it can be. I mean, if you start addressing the more unpredictable things, like is there transportation access for your road? Is there wetland issues there? Have you dealt with those? Is the rail access in place? I mean, if you can do some of that stuff up front, then you're able to tell someone that's looking for rail and not wanting to deal with wetlands issues that, hey, we've got this stuff covered for you. And at least you can remove all of that uncertainty to it.
This is the governor.
Right.
Things happen.
Governor says we can guarantee it.
Are there any projects you're really excited about that you can talk about? Most people don't realize you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement because if you own a manufacturing plant and you want to move, you don't want your competitors to know about it, and you don't want the cost of land to go up because they know Amazon's deep pockets, Home Depot's deep pockets.
Yeah.
So they have to stay pretty close to the vest, right? And they don't even tell the board about it.
Yeah.
So some things you can't talk about, I understand that. Are we up for any insight?
Sometimes we don't even know what the real business is, but there is one I know that we just were able to start talking about because they have gone public with their application process in Dallas. It's called Mint Valley Paper. So it'd be a new paper mill. They take the pulp in bales, so it's not going to be a pulp mill. So, but they're looking at potential for $200-300 million investment, couple 120 jobs or thereabouts, well-paying jobs. So we're very excited about that one and seeing where that goes. That's never a done deal until it's a done deal, but we're very excited about being able to talk about that one.
And the tax base of that $300 million investment
in the
West Valley is incredible. We're going to have to sign off. We'll have him back. This is Eric Anderson with us on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.